sent him to bless you in turning every one of you away from his iniquities. Peter doesn't erase the covenant view. So what God did with Abraham, with Noah, with Moses, with David, it's not wiped away in the New Testament. It's built upon. And so gospel people, Christians in the New Testament, were also covenant people with God through the Lord Jesus. They came into the covenant. They came into the line of Abraham, not by bloodline, but by faith in the Lord Jesus. Welcome to Let the Bible Speak. This is Ian Gallagher, and I thank you for joining with us here on the program again today. Part two of What is the Sabbath? Now, in the Old Testament, the Lord's Day was called the Sabbath. In the New Testament, it is really the Christian Sabbath because it means to rest, to be called aside to rest. Rest from our labor, rest from business, rest from pleasure, that we might find rest in the grace of the gospel of the Lord Jesus. So it is quite proper to call the first day of the week the Christian Sabbath. Now let me read to you the commandment that is in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 9. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. And it is that hallowing of the day that means that there is a day for us to keep. And that ought to be the united testimony of all Bible-believing Christians, that there is a day in seven to keep as unto the Lord Jesus. And I do invite you to stay tuned with us right through the program today as we deal with this, part two of the message. Now remember that if you miss any part or if you didn't get the program yesterday, you can go to our website and hear that over again. They are archived by date on the website under Let the Bible Speak Radio. And I trust that this will be a vital subject that will help you to live the Christian life. When people ask me, what is the first thing that a young Christian needs to do to get discipline and to grow in grace? My answer is, keep the Lord's Day as a day for worship and for Christian service. Just get into the practice of keeping that day, and everything else falls into place when you keep that day as a day of worship, a day of fellowship with God's people, a day when you may be free to serve the Lord. And in that way, there is a discipline built right into it. Now, so my prayer is that these messages will be a blessing and a help to each and all. And I trust that you'll stay tuned right through. But let's unite in prayer and ask God to bless his word. Father, we thank thee for the Sabbath. We thank thee for the day that you have given that we may worship thee on the Sunday, that first day of the week, that we may remember your resurrection, that we may hear your word, that we may be living witnesses in the Christian church. And I pray that you will bless your people, give your people great grace to honor the day of the Lord and to worship thee. Remember those that are struggling and need of care. We pray, dear God, that you'll be gracious and merciful, that you will draw near to comfort and to bless. Bless that mother that is struggling with a child. Perhaps there's illness in the home or other frustrations and disappointments. Oh, Lord, we pray that the Spirit of God will come in and minister in the home and in the heart. We pray for healing for the sick. We pray for grace and strength to your hurting people and for those that are bearing reproach for Jesus' sake, finding the hardship of bearing the cross. Lord, you've promised that your grace is all sufficient. And so we commit your people to thee and all the care of living for Christ. Lord, you've said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Lord, lift the load and give grace to your people. We pray this in our Savior's name. Stay tuned now as we go to our message, What is the Sabbath? Because every other day that they had this manna left over, it stank, it decayed. But on the Sabbath, it was preserved right in the desert, in the heat. And God fed them with the manna, but he gave it fresh 6 days a week. They gathered it up, and you'll see now why. Verse 25, and as Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in it there shall be none. And so this went on for how long? Well, if you look at the end of the chapter, verse 35, and the children of Israel did eat manna 40 years. 40 years in the school of learning about the Sabbath, keeping one day special, a day of rest, built and taken from the whole matter of creation. Now, why was this lesson so important? Why did God instill it so carefully, so methodically, into the lives of his people Israel, even in the desert? Because at the end of the 40 years, they were going over the Jordan into a land inhabited by the heathen. And God was going to put a special badge or mark upon his own people. And we'll get to that badge issue in a little while. But they were to be separate and they were to be God's people. This was now their advertisement. Now, when you get to Exodus chapter 20, and you have, of course, the Ten Commandments, not only do you have the little statement, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all the work, but it gives a commentary. And really, it's the only commandment on which you get significant commentary right in, written by God's finger on the stones, Exodus 20 and verse 10. But the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For, here's the reason, God's reasoning. And in God's gracious goodness, he not only tells them what I want you to do, but here's why I want you to do it. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Now, we're a long way from the days of creation. We are now in somewhere like 1,000 years away from creation. The world has already endured a flood in Noah's day. The world is now repopulated. You could say now it's got a new people, but the commandment stood. And it's still linked back to creation. And this is the argument that God uses when he gives them this commandment, that he wants them to keep it. And so this is built right in. And it is to be done perpetually. It's to be done forever. That's the reasoning that God is giving here. And so it's built into the moral law. Now, there are other laws in the Old Testament we don't keep, like Levitical laws. There are other Sabbaths we don't keep because they had festival Sabbaths, they had the Passover Sabbaths, and so on. And those are over. They're not part of the moral law. But this commandment, based on creation, built into the moral law, commented on right here as part of God's pattern in creation, This is unchangeable, and it is to continue to the end of the world. And that's why our confession rightly calls it something to be practiced to the end of the world in perpetuity. Now, the big reason for this now, God has given reasons. And the reasoning that God gives, if you go over to Exodus 31 and verse 13, and he's saying to his covenant people, Israel, speak thou unto the children of Israel, saying, this is Exodus chapter 31, verse 13, verily my Sabbaths ye shall keep, for it is a sign between me and you throughout your generations, that ye may know that I am the Lord that doth sanctify you. Now, I looked up in the Hebrew language that word sign, what would we take from it? And it simply means a flag. It is a flag. And it's like Israel advertising to the other nations. We obey God, Jehovah. We are his people. And we follow the creator pattern of keeping one day, the seventh day, separate and special unto God. And on down in verse 14, chapter 31, ye shall keep the Sabbath therefore, for it is holy unto you. Everyone that defileth it shall surely be put to death. Now in the Old Testament it was no small thing. For whosoever doeth any work therein, that soul shall be cut off from among his people. 6 days may work be done, but in the seventh is the Sabbath of rest, holy to the Lord. It's a sanctified day, a hallowed day. And in verse 16, wherefore the children of Israel shall keep the Sabbath to observe the Sabbath throughout their generations for a perpetual covenant, a perpetual covenant. And so the Sabbath was based on God's creative work. And you'll see in verse 17, it is a sign between me and the children of Israel forever. For in 6 days, the Lord made heaven and earth, and on the seventh day, he rested. Now, Israel was to keep this methodically, and they did for the most part. When a stranger was brought in, maybe one who was a Gentile of other nations, he was to be brought on the basis that he also kept this day. So it wasn't just peculiar to people of the bloodline of Abraham or Israel. Anyone that came from other nations and joined the worship of the Old Testament people, they also were commanded to keep that Sabbath, and it was to be a covenant unto them. Now, to answer the question, does that agreement stand in the New Testament? Surely it all changed when the New Testament church was formed, and on the basis of Christ's death and resurrection, surely it all changed. And those covenants, well, God doesn't work any longer on the basis of those covenants with Abraham, with David, Moses, and so on. Well, let's go to that chapter just after Pentecost, Acts chapter 3 and verse 25. Acts chapter 3, verse 25. And here is Peter and John who had gone up into the temple, and it's Peter that's preaching, verse 12, you'll see, and Peter saw it, he answered unto the people. So it's Peter preaching here. And he's saying in verse 25, now this is after Pentecost, after Christ's death and resurrection, after his ascension to heaven, and now when the New Testament church is in place, and it says here in verse 25, ye are the children of the prophets and of the covenant which God made with our fathers, saying unto Abram, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Unto you first, God having raised up his son Jesus, sent him to bless you in turning every one of you away from his iniquities. Peter doesn't erase the covenant view. So what God did with Abraham, with Noah, with Moses, with David, it's not wiped away in the New Testament. It's built upon. And so gospel people, Christians in the New Testament, were also covenant people with God through the Lord Jesus. They came into the covenant. They came into the line of Abraham, not by bloodline, but by faith in the Lord Jesus. And that covenant arrangement whereby God took his people to be his people and they to be the people of God, that still stood and it continued fast. And this is key because New Testament Christians have the same God. We have the same gospel as Abraham. Now you may wonder, do you find that in the Bible? Well, let's go to Galatians chapter 3, verse 8. And you will see that we now, as believers, enter into the same gospel as was preached unto Abraham. Galatians chapter 3 and verse 8. And the scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the heathen through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed. Now, so what was given to Abraham, what was enlarged in the days of Moses, what was enlarged further in the day of David, it's not wiped away. That law and covenant is not wiped away. That all still stands, but it goes further. It is fulfilled in Christ. The Messiah has come. The Savior of the world has come. And all nations now unite in the same gospel, the same God, the same terms through the Lord Jesus. So if you're a Christian, you're a covenant child of God. You are now a son or daughter of Abraham, and he is the father of the faithful. We have one church in all ages, one gospel in all ages, and the moral law, the Ten Commandments, which the God, we would say the God of the Old Testament, he's the same in the New, and still is in place for us. Now, the Lord Jesus did not change this principle. And that's why we read today in Mark 2:27-28. Jesus said that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, he got himself into a little bit of trouble because he and his disciples were on a Sabbath day walking through a cornfield, and due to their nibbling, that's really what they were doing, nibbling at the corn. And I've done it. I've gone through a grain field, and you just take a head of grain and you rub it in your hand. You get all the chaff off it, and then you just eat the corn. You eat the grain. And once you do it a few times, you can't help do it when you're walking through a cornfield if it's ripe. And this is what these disciples were doing, and they got criticized for it. And of course, the enemies of the Lord, they were saying, if you were men of God, you wouldn't even touch that grain on the Sabbath day. Now, they weren't doing it for a meal. They weren't doing it for work. They weren't doing it harvesting. It was just a nibble. And the Lord Jesus didn't back away. He said that the Sabbath was made for man. Man was not made to be a burden under the Sabbath. God gave the Sabbath to be a benefit, a blessing, not to be a burden. And then he went on to say here in this passage in Mark 2, he went on to say, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath. And of course, it is his day. It's the Lord's day. And we can say today that the first day of the week on which we meet because of the resurrection, because of the triumph of our Lord Jesus and the practice of the New Testament church, that this is now the Lord's day. And we keep this day unto the Lord himself. And we worship him on this day. And the Lord Jesus built on this Sabbath. He didn't wipe it away. He didn't say, well, that's over now. He didn't say to these critics, that's over now. No. He said, I am the Lord of the Sabbath. And you tie that into the Sermon on the Mount where the Lord Jesus says, think not that I am come to destroy the law. I'm not come to destroy, I am come to fulfill. And so this, without a doubt, continues to stand in the New Testament. Was the practice of early Christians, was the practice of the Christians in the early centuries of the Christian church, and was certainly the practice in the days of the Reformers, What I read to you from the Westminster Confession of Faith, 1647, was the conviction and position of the Puritans and the Reformers, and has been the stand of Presbyterians all down through history. Now, confusion has come into the church, and there are those who say, well, we're under grace, not under law, and all kinds of attitudes have developed. Now, one thing I want to point out, keeping the Sabbath day does not save your soul. It's keeping one day a week, however meticulously or whatever way you do it, or whatever you deny yourself on that day, will not make you a Christian. Keeping any of the commandments does not make you a Christian. You do not get saved by works. You get saved by faith in the blood of Christ, his sacrifice for sin. But once you are saved, you now say, what am I to do to please my Lord? How am I to live for him? Now the law becomes our rule of life. The moral law is our rule of life. I want to know what's right for God, then I'm to keep each of those commandments. And I am to equally keep that day that the Lord has given. In Romans 13, Paul said that the law, love is the fulfilling of the law. And I love my Lord. I love his day. I love the opportunity to worship. I love the opportunity to praise his name and enter into a witness for him. I don't want to be a slave to the world. I don't want to be continually bound by the material things of this world. I want to be free to worship my God. And so as Dan Walker of the BBC stated on that video clip, that he wanted to be free, and he negotiated with the BBC that whatever time slot you give me, I refuse to work on Sunday. And I want to have that day free to worship God. And that is surely the thinking behind of all of that. And what a great testimony it brings. And it becomes now our badge, our advertisement. The very fact that the newspapers, it's all out, they're all talking about Dan Walker, this BBC newscaster who won't work on Sundays. How can they allow him to read the news? And of course, they come up with all ridiculous things. How can he be on, not be prejudiced and biased, reading the news and talking about news events if he won't work on Sundays? And so now this is his badge. This is his witness. And this is certainly something that we can do to honor the Lord and to keep his day. Now, Sabbath breakers and those who do not keep God's day, well, we need to call them to worship the Lord, to use the day, and to serve the Lord on that day. Now, God has given us 6 days, 6 days in which to worship him. Are we going to refuse to honor him and take the seventh as well and say, I must have 7 days that I can serve myself? I can't keep this one day in seven. And if we're going to honor the Lord and glorify the Lord, then we will want to keep his day, that day that he has set aside, and which has been such a benefit and such a blessing to God's people right down through the generations, and has been such a blessing to nations. Whenever you have opportunity to rest for your body, an opportunity to worship God, and to enter into public testimony. If we didn't have the Lord's Day, how could we even function as a church? How could we unite together on a regular basis? It would become nigh impossible. And so let us praise God for the day he has given us, and rejoice in it, and do so gladly. Under the title Sabbath in Dr. Kern's dictionary, we read that it is an enduring obligation. Much controversy has raged round the question as to whether the fourth commandment is still binding on God's people, and if it is, whether the first day of the week is to be regarded as the Christian Sabbath. There are good reasons for believing that the observance of the Sabbath remains as a moral duty. Firstly, it is part of the moral law. It is commonly stated that Christians are not under law, but under grace, and that therefore the fourth commandment is not binding upon Christians. The reasoning here is grossly defective, for could not the same be said in regard to each of the other commandments in the Decalogue? Antinomians argue that the same should be said of all the commandments, holding that these are not to be regarded as a rule of life for Christians. Paul's assertion that we are under the law to Christ clearly removes the argument, as does the fact that the New Testament quotes or refers to each of the commandments, plain evidence of their morally binding character for the people of God. Also, the Lord Jesus said that the Sabbath was made for man. The Lord Jesus said plainly, the Sabbath was made for man. That's in Mark chapter 2, verse 27. Not just for Jews, but for man generally. Despite this, some argue that the fourth commandment is the only one of the ten that is not repeated in the New Testament. Therefore, we are told it is not binding on Christians. But there is a text in Hebrews chapter 4, verses 9 and 10, that says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God. For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works as God did from his." And there the Greek words and terms all add up to the same meaning, that we are to keep a day of rest for God here on earth. Now, it's not the way of salvation. It will not save your soul, but it is our duty, as we are under the rule of the law for life, that we may please our Heavenly Father in all things. And this is one of the very first and foremost things that a Christian should do, that we might walk with God and serve Him in His church. And so take heed to this great commandment, that you might walk with God and bring glory to Him by keeping one day in seven, that first day of the week, as the resurrection day of your own Christian life. May the Lord bless you through His word. Thank you for listening in. Stay tuned now for these closing announcements. You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio broadcast of our Free Presbyterian Church here in Cloverdale. This is Pastor Ian Gallagher, and I want to give you a personal invitation to come along to our church services any Sunday, 10:30 a.m. and 6 p.m. Bring your family and friends as we preach the message of salvation. Of course, you can join us by webcast right here at these times, 10:30 and 6, and you can join us on your own computer to view by video and by audio. If perhaps you have missed part of the program today, or you'd like to hear this message again, you can go to our website. So you'll get all the information there. If you go to our website, www.cloverdalefpc.ca, and there you'll get a map of our church, times of service, you'll get a contact button, a donate button, and you can be a part of this ministry, and we invite you to do so. Now, listeners on Vancouver Island and in Victoria, we invite you also to our church services there at 11 a.m. and 6 p.m. on Sundays. You will be most welcome at the services there, and the people will receive you gladly as they worship the Lord and stand for the Lord Jesus. It's important for Christians to take a public stand and be a part of the fellowship of God's people. Now, the website again is www.cloverdalefpc.ca. Give me a phone call if you wish, 604-576-1091. We look forward to hearing from you. Join us again, please, as we let the Bible speak.